have your Bible this morning and you want to share with me the reading of Scripture and what the Lord's placed on my heart today, I'm going to invite you to kind of an obscure text in the book of Isaiah. In it's Isaiah chapter 63. We're going to read verse 9 and verse 10. So Isaiah chapter 63, verse 9 and verse 10. When you got it, say amen. Isaiah 63, verse 9 and verse 10, it says, "In all their affliction..." Now understand that he's talking, the prophet is talking about the children of Israel. "In all of their affliction, he," God, "he was afflicted. And he was the angel of his presence," or the angel of his presence, "saved them. And in his love," and again it's talking about the love of God, God was the messenger of his presence, "in his love and in his pity he redeemed them. And he bare them and carried them all the days of old." And then listen to verse 10. The subject swiftly changes. "But they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. Therefore, he was turned to be their enemy, and he fought against them." Now, I want that to just sink in for a moment. The prophet starts out by saying, in all of their affliction, in all of their troubles, in all of their needs and their desires, God considered himself to be afflicted because of their affliction. He was the presence that saved them. He loved them, and in his pity he redeemed them, and he carried them. He bare them up. He took them up in his arms to shelter them. And he carried them all the days of old. But they, even after he had done all of these things, they rebelled against him and vexed his Holy Spirit. And suddenly, therefore, he was turned to be their enemy, and he fought against them. Bow your heads, please, and let's pray for the Lord to anoint me and to minister the word of the living God today. Father, we are so grateful this morning for your love and for your mercy and for your goodness to us. We are grateful that we have felt your presence in our midst as we have worshiped and sang and lifted up your name in our praises. And we come now, Lord, to the reading of your holy word, and I would just simply ask that you would enable me, that you would give me a divine capability, that you would inspire my thoughts, that you would put your word in my mouth, and that one comes forth from these lips of clay will come forth under the anointing of your Holy Spirit. And they will be empowered by your Holy Spirit this morning. Let it fall upon hearts that are touched of God to hear and to receive. Help me this morning to be a blessing. Help me this morning to exalt Jesus Christ and to glorify him and to edify the people of God and those that will listen here in the audience or here in the congregation and those that will listen by way of the internet. I simply ask you to bless me to be a blessing. Anoint me and use me as an instrument in your hand, and we will forever be thankful and forever be grateful. And everyone in agreement with that prayer said amen. Amen. So I want to title the message this morning, "When the Obstacle Is You." When the obstacle is you. And I'm not pointing a finger. I could have named it "When the Obstacle Is Me." Because at some point or another, we are all the obstacle in the way of the Lord. So So let me just begin this morning by sharing with you some context concerning the scriptures that we have read together, and without going into a great amount of detail, because it is not necessarily the detail of the scriptures that I want you to see, but I want you to see the concept or the principle that is found in these verses. God was saying by the prophet Isaiah that when the children of Israel were afflicted and when they were in trouble, that God himself considered himself to be afflicted. He took their affliction and their troubles in a very personal manner. God became their provider. He became their security. He became the presence that saved them. And he carried them all of the days that he, amen, abided with him. The Bible said that he carried them or bare them when they could never have made it upon their own. And in return, they rebelled against him. In return, they refused to walk in his footsteps. In return, they grieved his Holy Spirit. In return, they literally stood in opposition of God. And they became the obstacle to the plan of God. And because of it, the Bible said that God became their enemy, and not just their enemy, but God literally fought against them. Now, that is a heavy, weighty statement. Because they refused to obey and because they were a rebellious people, the Bible said that God became their enemy and fought against them. They stood against God and his plans and what he was doing, and so God stood in opposition to them. They became the obstacle. They became the hindrance. The principle that I want you to see this morning is that when we become the obstacle and we stand in opposition to the plan of God, when we stand against the revealed will of God, he does not take too kindly to it. The text declares that he became their enemy. And he fought against them. How many of you know this morning that you will never win fighting against God? You will never win fighting against God. When I began to feel the Lord placing this message on my heart, one day as I was meditating upon what God wanted me to bring out, I couldn't help but think, no one in their right mind, no one with any good sense would stand in the middle of a freeway and try to face down a semi doing 70 miles an hour. No one in their right mind would purposefully stand in the middle of a street and oppose a commuter bus. Can you imagine standing on the railroad tracks and trying to stop a freight train? As I meditated, I couldn't help but think of the old SNL skit, you know. Oh no, Mr. Bill. He was always getting flattened by something. Some of you are looking at me like the RCA dog. Who's Mr. Bill? It makes me think of the, you know, the old Wile E. Coyote in the Roadrunner cartoon. You know, the Wile E. Coyote, he was always trying to set a trap for the Roadrunner, and he was always getting flattened. Well, let me just tell you this morning, you cannot fight against God. You cannot stand in the way of God's plan and not expect to be run over. Here they are. They are. God has them in his hand, and God nourishes them and provides for them and upholds them, and they rebelled against him. And because of it, God became their enemy, and God fought against them. Anyone this morning who would purposefully stand in a dangerous situation as an obstacle is just simply looking for trouble. Can you say amen? But I ask you this morning, what do you think happens when you stand in opposition to God? What do you think happens when, amen, when you stand opposed to the will of God? And what may be worse even yet is, have you ever stopped to think that there may be some times in our own life when we are, whether intentionally or unintentionally, we become the obstacle to the plan of the Lord? Well, let me just tell you this morning, it's a dangerous place to be. It's a dangerous place to be. I would submit to you this morning that there are times when God is trying to accomplish something in our heart and something in our life, and the opposition that he is getting is not coming from the enemy. The opposition that he is getting is not coming from the demonic forces of hell, but the opposition that he is coming against is us. We ourselves. Stop and think about that for a moment. When we oppose God, or when we oppose the plan of God, or we oppose God's purpose in any situation, when we oppose the revealed will of God through his word, then we are standing in opposition of God. We are standing in opposition of the Lord. When we read the scriptures and we know what the word of God tells us, and then we determine to disobediently, and maybe I would say blatantly disobedient to the word, and we decide we are not going to follow after him, and we are not going to follow after his word. In essence, we are saying to God, I am not going to allow that to happen in my life. We are actually saying, you better bring a lunch. Hello? Wow. What a dangerous place to be. In reality, we are saying, if you are going to accomplish what you want to accomplish, then you got to go through me. Now, we may not blatantly say that, but our actions testify to that. That's what the children of Israel did. God blesses them, nourishes them, upholds them, and they rebelled against him and refused to obey him. And so God became their enemy, and God fought against them. God said, okay, if that's how you want it to be, no problem. I am still going to accomplish my purpose. And I may go around you, or I may go through you, but I am still gonna bring to pass what thus saith the Lord. Standing in opposition of God is like saying, you know, I mean, if you think you can, go ahead and try. This morning, I want you to ask yourself, am I the opposition? Am I standing between God and his plan? Am I standing in the way of what God is wanting to do, even in my own life? Heavy subject, yeah? Am I the obstruction? Am I the impediment? Am I the barrier to the will of God? Who, me? Am I the one that has taken the stance against God and his will? And you may be thinking to yourself, Pastor Gary, that is a heavy charge. No one in their right mind would blatantly stand against the Lord. I have news for you this morning. The Bible is filled with individuals and characters that blatantly opposed God, and they became nothing more than roadkill, amen, in the pages of history. Let me give you some examples. How many of you remember Pharaoh? Pharaoh, the Egyptian king. The Bible said that God shows up to Moses in the form of a burning bush. And God says to him, I want you to go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. I want you to go tell Pharaoh to release my people from bondage. Moses said, I am nothing and nobody will listen to me. Whom shall I tell them that sent me? And God said, you tell them I am that I am. And you know what happened? The Bible said Moses obeyed God. He shows up at Pharaoh's palace and he said, God, who sent me, the great I am, said, let my people go. That was the revealed will of God. You know what Pharaoh did? The Bible says that Pharaoh said, I don't know who the Lord is that I should obey him. I don't know him, and I will not let Israel go. And the Bible teaches us in the book of Exodus that time after time after time, Moses returns to Pharaoh with the command from God to let the children of Israel go. And time after time after time, Pharaoh hardened his heart and refused to let them go. God sent a plague of flies, a plague of frogs, a plague of lice, rivers turned to blood, hail from heaven devoured the crops. And yet, even in the midst of this great display of God's power, Pharaoh refused to let the children of God go. He stood in opposition to the plan of God. And let me just remind you how the story ended up. Pharaoh and his entire army ended up being fish bait at the bottom of the Red Sea, all because they would not obey the Lord. They stood in opposition. You cannot fight against God and win. Do you remember King Saul? Saul blatantly disobeyed the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 15, you will read the story of the Amalekites. And because Saul disobeyed the Lord, and because Saul did not follow the word of the Lord, the prophet Samuel showed up and said, you have rejected the word of the Lord, and because you have rejected the word of the Lord has also rejected you from being king over Israel. So Saul knew that it was no longer in the plan of God for him to occupy the throne. And yet he refused to vacate that throne. God chose a successor. You know the story. God chose David to follow Saul into the throne. And yet Saul would not give up the throne. And so God moved him out of the way. If you read the end result of King Saul, the Bible says that he died with a tormenting spirit of jealousy. He died, amen, because the evil spirits that were allowed to torment him robbed him of his peace of mind, and he literally ended up killing himself with his own sword on Mount Gilboa. You cannot fight against God and win. Goliath. Do you recall the story of David and Goliath? And we often tell that story and remember that story from the standpoint of David, the victorious little shepherd boy who slew the giant. But flip that story around and look at it this morning, amen, from the eyes of the giant. He wasn't just opposing the army of Israel. He was standing in opposition of God. He wasn't just opposing an army of men, flesh and blood, but he was literally opposing the will of God. And you know the story. David throws the rock, hits him between the eyes, and he drops to the earth, and David cut off his head. And the Bible said the fowls of the air devoured his flesh on the battlefield. I said, you cannot win against God. Amen. I don't even have time to point out all of the different individuals that blatantly stood against the Lord. But Balaam the prophet comes to mind. Ahab and Jezebel come to mind. Sembalat and Tobiah come to mind. King Herod at the birth of Jesus comes to mind. The religious leaders at the time of Christ come to mind. But all of them ended, amen, with a pitiful demise because they stood against God. And you say, Pastor Gary, all of us that are here this morning, all of us would never blatantly stand in opposition to the Lord. None of us are out of our mind. None of us would stand opposing God. But I want to show you something this morning, that it can happen very subtly in our life. It can happen very subtly in our life. And sometimes it can happen and we think we are doing God a favor. I want you this morning to think about that for just a moment. I truly believe with all of my heart that none of us would want to stand in direct opposition to the Lord. But it can happen to all of us in a very subtle way if we are not mindful. Let me share with you three specific areas that the Holy Spirit began to work with me and deal with me about bringing to you this morning. Over this past week, the Holy Spirit just began to share into my heart three specific areas that we can oppose God in a very subtle way and still be in opposition to the Lord. Number one, I believe that if we are not careful, we will find ourselves opposing God and we will become the obstacle when we do not understand what He is doing. We can subtly become the obstacle when we do not understand what it is that He is doing. Let me share with you what the Holy Spirit put in my heart this past week. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of John, chapter 13. John, chapter 13. And you can just follow along for a few moments as I share the context of the scripture. The Bible tells us that Jesus and His disciples had shared the Passover meal. It was the Last Supper. They had finished singing the songs and they had worshiped and they had praised and they had eaten the Passover meal. And then the Bible tells us in that chapter of John that Jesus girded Himself with a towel and He found a bowl or a basin and filled it with water. And the Bible says that He knelt down and He began to wash the disciples' feet. In my mind this morning, that is the single greatest act of humility that has ever been exampled to the world. Think about that for a moment. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the treasure of heaven, the Son of the very living God, girds Himself and kneels before His followers and He washes their feet. Look at verse number 6. The Bible said, "Then Jesus came to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto Him, Lord, dost Thou wash my feet?" That's old English for "what in the world are you doing? Are you going to wash my feet?" You mean to tell me our teacher, the one that has raised the dead and opened the eyes of the blind and fed multitudes with a few loaves and a few fish, walked on water, and you're going to wash my feet? No doubt Peter thought, "I can't allow that to happen. You are too great. to be washing my feet. Now, coming from that angle, you would think that Peter was in a pretty good place. I'm not worthy of you washing my feet. But Jesus was using this moment to teach them something about humility. Look what the next verse says. Jesus said unto him, and I love this. Jesus says to him, what I do now, thou knowest not, but you will know hereafter. In other words, I know you don't understand what I'm doing right now, but just hang on, be patient, and you will know what I'm doing. But Peter couldn't be patient. And Peter says in the very next verse, thou shalt never wash my feet. I am not going to allow you to wash my feet. Ain't no way. Now, I said sometimes we can stand in opposition to the plan of God when we do not understand what it is that he is up to. Hello? Peter didn't understand what Jesus was up to, and so Peter resisted the plan. Peter stood in opposition to the Lord and didn't even realize what he was doing. He was the obstacle and didn't even realize it. He was the obstacle and didn't even recognize that he was being the obstacle. And what happens when we become the obstacle? What happens when we become rebellious? The principle kicks in and he becomes our enemy and he'll fight against us. You cannot fight against God and win. So look what happens. Jesus answered him and said, if I do not wash thee, then you have no part with me. Now that's a very powerful statement. If you don't allow me to wash your feet, you have no part of me. You are not mine. And I love what Peter goes on to say. He goes on to say, Lord, don't just wash my feet, but wash my hands and my head. He recognized the error of his way. But what are we to glean from those verses this morning? First of all, I want you to glean the fact, and I want you to notice the servant's heart of Jesus. Jesus was displaying to them a humble heart or humble actions. The greatest among them would be servant to all. The greatest one among them was not to serve in some highfalutin, high-minded sort of way, but Jesus was trying to teach them that the greatest among you will be servant to everyone. We all this morning need to have a servant's heart. There are no big I's and little U's. We are all part of the family of God, and we are all equal in the eyes of God. And therefore, we must all learn to be humble to one another. We must all learn to have a servant's heart and know how to serve one another. The second thing that I think that we should notice is that Peter did not understand what Jesus was doing. And because he did not understand, he opposed the will of God. And without even realizing it, he placed himself in the way of the work of the Lord. Peter says, you'll never wash my feet. In essence, he's saying, I won't have any part of it. I won't have any part of it. Really, what Jesus was wanting Peter to grasp is Jesus knew that not many days hence, Peter would be endued with the power of the Holy Spirit and that Peter would become a great leader in the church age and he would become a great presence in the new church that was being formed. And so Jesus wanted Peter to understand that when he came into that place of position, Jesus wanted him to know that he needed to operate in humility, and he was simply trying to teach him a lesson. But because Peter didn't understand what Jesus was doing, he didn't want to have anything to do with it. And in doing so, because he didn't want to have anything to do with it, he places himself in opposition of the work of the Lord. He places himself in opposition to the plan of God. And what I want you to understand this morning from this example is that there are going to be moments in our lives when we too do not understand what God is doing. There are going to be moments in our lives when we too will not understand where it is that he is leading. Amen. There are going to be moments that we have to just walk by faith and understand that we may not know exactly where he's leading or why we are going through some of the things that we are going through, but we have to put our hand in his and trust that he knows what is best for us. We may not understand why, but we must not become stubborn, stiff-necked, and rebellious. We must not refuse to be obedient to his revealed will. We may not always understand what he's doing, and we may not always understand why or where he is leading, but just because we do not understand, it is no reason for us to become rebellious. I want you to know something this morning. If you think you're stubborn, God can out-stubborn you. Hello? We simply must be obedient to him whether we understand or not. Whether we understand or not. But Pastor Gary, I don't know why I'm going through the things that I am going through. I don't either. But I can tell you that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, who are the called according to his purpose. I can tell you that the Bible says that after you have suffered for a little while and after your faith has been tried by fire, he will bring you out on the other side with a testimony of his grace and power. And I can tell you that if you won't let go of his hand, he'll never let go of yours. It can happen very suddenly. We don't understand, and so therefore we rebel. That's what happened to Peter. He didn't understand, and because he didn't understand, he didn't want any part of it. And really what Jesus was trying to teach him was how to have humility. And what he was really saying was, I don't want any part of your lesson. I don't need to learn that. Oh, if anybody needed to learn it, it was Peter. Number two, secondly, I believe that if we are not careful, we can find ourselves opposing God and becoming the obstacle when we are more concerned with the things of men than we are the things of God. Again, let me use Peter as an example. And you might be thinking this is pick on Peter Sunday, but it's not. I actually love the Apostle Peter. In some ways, I see myself in him. But I want you to understand this example. In this example, Peter finds himself as an obstacle because he is more concerned about the things of men than the will of God. Turn to Matthew chapter 16, and we will look at it. Matthew chapter 16. Again, while you are turning there, I will give you the context of the scriptures. Jesus asked his disciples one day along about verse 15 in Matthew chapter 16. Jesus asks his disciples, he says, whom do men say that I am? And different ones begin to tell him the town gossip. Some said, well, some folks are saying that you're Elijah. Someone else said, well, others are saying you're Jeremiah or John the Baptist or one of the prophets. They started giving him the scuttlebutt of the town. More pointedly, Jesus said, but who do you say that I am? And Peter got a revelation from God. And Peter said, I'll tell you who you are. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say to you that thou art Peter, amen, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And then the Bible says in that 20th verse, he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one who he was. He commanded them, don't tell anybody that I am Yahshua, the Messiah. Don't tell anybody that I am the anointed, the Christ. Don't tell anybody. The time has not come for it to yet be revealed. You know who I am, but not everyone is going to understand. Just keep it to yourselves. And the Bible says, look at verse number 21. And from that time forward, from that moment forward, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things. Let me just tell you this morning that it was no secret that Jesus was going to be crucified, that he was going to die, and that he was going to be put in the grave, and that he was going to raise from the dead. He told them these things from the beginning. Amen? He told them these things from the beginning. It shouldn't have come as a shock to them, because he is the one that told them what was going to happen well before it ever happened. Verse 21, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. What he's doing is telling them the salvation plan of God. He's telling them, this is how you are going to be redeemed. The sinless, spotless Son of God is going to be betrayed by the religious leaders of this city, and they are going to persecute me and crucify me. I will die. They will put me in a tomb, but I will rise on the third day. And Peter didn't like the plan. Look at the next verse. Peter takes him aside. And the Bible said, in its strong language, the Bible said that Peter rebuked him. Wow. Peter rebuked Jesus and said to him, far be it from you, Lord. Far be it from me. This shall not happen to you. And Jesus turned to Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, because you do not savor the things of God, but rather the things of men. Once again, Peter finds himself subtly, and maybe he even thinks he's doing the Lord a favor, but he finds himself in opposition to the Lord. He finds himself in opposition to the plan of God. And I know it looks like he meant well, but really Jesus clearly tells him that you are being more mindful of the things of men than you are the plan of God. We can fall into that very trap. Peter was saying, in essence, I don't agree with the plan. I rebuke that idea. It shall not happen to you. Far be it from you, Lord. In other words, I know that you're the Son of God. I know you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I know that you are from above, but I don't like the plan. We'll do something different. Let's just rewrite the book. I'll come up with something much better than that. Help me, Lord. How many times have we told the Lord, you know, I don't want to do it that way. Just let me work out things. I'll do it my way and it'll all be good. God's saying, look, you are more mindful of the things of man than you are the things of God. And really what he's saying is, you are standing in my way. And you keep standing there and I'll run over you like a Mack truck. How many of you know the Bible said that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God? It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. I love to preach that Jesus loves us, and he does. He loves us with an eternal love. But I'm going to also tell you this morning that he is a very just God. Amen. And he saves us for a reason and a purpose, and that is to follow in his footsteps. Peter became the obstacle. Peter claimed that I can fix this. I have a better plan. This will not happen to you. Let me just share with you this morning what the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 55 and verse number 8 and verse number 9. God says, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts and my ways are higher than your ways. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways and my thoughts above your ways and your thoughts. We may not always understand what God is doing this morning, but it's not about our plan. It's about submitting to his plan. When we become more mindful of our ways and the ways of men than we are more mindful and the things of God, then we become an offense to him. We are placing ourselves in opposition to him. Don't ever try to substitute your ways this morning with his ways. Don't ever try to substitute his thoughts with your thoughts or your own personal views. Now I just said a lot in one little tiny sentence, because we live in a world today that will tell you how they feel and what they believe. And really the reality of it is, we are not to line up with how we think or how we feel. You know, Frank Sinatra, you know, sang the song, I did it my way, you know. And I'll just tell you, if you do it your way, you'll wind up in the wrong place. Hello? God, we're not to do it our way, we're to do it his way. And when we want to live by our thoughts and our principles and we refuse the principles of God, then we are standing in opposition to the Lord. Amen. Don't ever substitute your thoughts for his thoughts. When God's word is clear about how we are to live, then don't line up with what you think or how you feel. Line up with the word of God. Align yourself with scripture and be blessed. Amen. If you line up with how you think and how you feel, you'll wind up, amen, finding yourself in opposition of the Lord. Thirdly, I believe that if we are not careful, amen, we will find ourselves opposing God and become the obstacle when we do not take up our cross and follow him. Look at verse number 24 in Matthew chapter 16. We're going to remain in that chapter for just a moment. Jesus says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever desires to save his life will in the end lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life, or really it could say, whosoever is willing to submit their will to me, whosoever is willing to lose his life for my sake, he will find it, Jesus says. And I just want to point out the order of things in those verses. The order is, we are to come after Christ. We are to follow him. We are to come after Christ, not before him. Hello? We are to follow and not lead.
And when we put ourselves or our agenda before him, we do nothing more than get in the way. We get in the way of what he is doing. And whether it is intentional or unintentional, the bottom line is that it is unacceptable. Our will must be submitted to his will. And however subtle it may be, whenever we do not submit ourselves to him, take up our cross and follow him daily, then we are becoming the obstacle on life's road. Ultimately, when we die to what we want in order to experience the blessing, we die to our will, our self-will, our rebellious attitude, and our rebellious stiff neck. We die to that and submit ourselves obediently unto God. And when we do that, if we are willing and obedient, the scripture says we will eat the good of the land. If we resist, him, the scripture goes on to say that we will be devoured with the sword. Meaning that we will be devoured by our own actions and the destruction of our own actions. Let me conclude this morning. We are to daily pick up our cross and follow where he leads, which means that we are to daily submit ourselves to his will. The greatest example of submitting to the will of God, again, I find in our own Savior Jesus Christ. Think about the moment in the garden when he prayed, "Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. If it is your will, let this cup pass from me." And then he goes on to pray, "Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." That's an example this morning of picking up our cross on a daily basis. On a daily basis, we should pray, "Lord, I don't want my agenda to be accomplished. I want your agenda to be accomplished. I don't want my will to transpire. I want your will to transpire. I don't want to be in charge. I want you to be in charge of my life. I submit everything that I am and everything that I have to you. I want you to be the Lord of my life." Not just one time out of the year, but daily, on a day-to-day basis. When we are faced with God's way or our way, and we decide to go our own way, then we have just turned away from the very best thing that was possible for our life. Let me say that again. When we are faced with God's way or our way, and we choose our own way, then we have just turned away from the best that God has to offer for us. Three very subtle ways that we can find ourselves being the obstacle in the plan of God. Number one, when we do not understand why he is doing what he's doing. When you come to a place in your life that you can say, I don't understand what the Lord's doing, be very careful. Don't try to figure it out on your own. Wait for the Lord to give you leadership and wait for the Lord to give you guidance, and he'll never lead you astray. Number two, when we are more concerned with the things of men than we are the things of God. Number three, we become the obstacle when we do not take up our cross and follow after Christ. Rest assured this morning that you cannot fight against God. Nobody in their right mind would want to try. I say to you this morning, humble yourself before the Lord and win. Humble yourself before the Lord and allow God to carry you and bear you up and be your provider and be the very presence that saves your life. I read an article here not long ago, and there was a quote in that article that said, God's will is what we would want if we had sense enough to know what we wanted. This morning, sincerely ask yourself, maybe you have good intention. Maybe you've never thought about it this morning before. Maybe you've never thought about standing in opposition to God. But I ask you this morning to just look inward into your spirit, into your heart. Like this guy up on the screen.
Me?
Am I the one standing in opposition of the Lord? Is it me? Because it can happen so subtly. It doesn't have to be a blatant rebellion against God. Just simply refusing to acknowledge His word and walk in His word and acknowledge who He is brings us into opposition and brings us into a place where we are opposing Him. Like Peter this morning, maybe you had good intentions, but good intentions this morning are absolutely no match for obedience. Let me say that again. Maybe you have had good intentions. How many of you know what the old cliche saying is? The road to hell is paved with good intentions. Maybe you've had good intentions, but good intentions are no match for obedience. The Bible said that obedience is better than sacrifice. Bow your heads, please, all over the building. Musicians, come back. We're going to close our service this morning in prayer. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed here today. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning that You are a God that is mindful. That when we sidetrack, or that when we get off track, or that when we are walking in a way that stands in opposition to You, You are gracious to us and merciful to us to cause us to understand the error of our way. And now, Lord, I have delivered what I feel that You have placed upon my heart. And I pray that the Holy Spirit of God will take the words that we have endeavored to convey. Let it fall in the hearts of these, Your people, with understanding. Shine Your light into our heart and reveal to us the error of our attitude, the error of our way. And let us leave this morning, Lord, changed. We do not want You to be our enemy. We do not want You to fight against us with Your great power. We will wilt and never survive. We want to be humbly submitted to Your will, walking in Your footsteps, daily picking up our cross and following after You. Help us this morning, Lord, to see the errors in our lives and speak to those places in our heart and then bring restoration and bring healing. I ask it in Jesus' name. Every head is bowed and every eye is closed, please, all over the building. Maybe you're here in this place this morning and you would just simply lift up your hand, acknowledging to God, I didn't even recognize, I didn't even realize that I was opposing You. I'm sorry. That I see those hands. God sees those hands. Yes, yes. I didn't even realize the error of my way. I'm sorry, Lord. I don't want to stand in opposition of You. Any more hands? You'd lift it up and say, yeah, that's me, Jesus. That's me. Stand to your feet all over the building. There have been hands that have been lifted here today. Would you all just bow your heads and pray with me and pray for those that have lifted their hands. Heavenly Father, thank You. Thank You for allowing us to see the errors of our ways. Thank You this morning, Lord, for being gracious to us, heal those areas in our life. Heal those areas in our life. Just like you were with Peter. You were gracious and you were forgiving and you were kind and you were long-suffering, causing him to see the error of his way. Thank you for touching our lives and helping us to see the same. And now, Lord, we walk from this place committed never to stand in that place of opposition again. We walk away from this house this morning committed to never occupy that place of opposing you and your will in our life. Flood our heart with healing. Flood our heart, I pray, this morning, Lord, with your grace and your mercy and your goodness. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I pray. Go ahead.